Happy early Autism Awareness Month. My name is Elijah Schaefer, and this is Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. I'm a top 17 host where we always have confetti of color. That was our favorite climate alarmist, who's before COVID was cool and we were all going to die from COVID. She was telling us we were all going to die from climate change. Unfortunately for her, I woke up this morning and haven't died from either. I'm getting there, though. I'm getting there. Maybe you are, too. We have a lot of insane videos and topics to talk about, and I invited some amazing guests to come on the show today. Drew Hernandez, commentator from Real America's Voice. You can also find him on YouTube, Drew H. Live. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive, but for the first time in the Blaze TV studios in Dallas.
Yep. Started in the closet, now we're here.
And I was shocked too. Oh, you got confetti of color. Did you see that? Your first confetti of color?
Oh, do you guys have brown?
Yeah, your second one.
Oh.
Yeah, we always have pink
ground. You are the brown, Drew. You are the brown.
I'm not happy with that. I'm going to leave.
People wanted the diversity coalition. You guys, Barbies are one thing. I brought the real deal today. Drew Hernandez, Latinx. We're really happy to have you here because to show that I'm not a Nazi.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly why I'm here. There's a conspiracy theory. Glenn Beck brought me here just so you guys wouldn't be called Nazis. And that's why Zuby's here too.
Yeah, on that note, Zuby, rapper, author, commentator, got a new album out, Word of Zuby. You can stream it everywhere. You got your own confetti of color. You can stream it. I think teamzuby.com is where you can access everything of his. He's great on Twitter. Zuby, welcome back to Slightly Offensive.
What's up, man? Happy to be here.
Did you teleport here?
I technically flew.
Well, I'm just saying, because you've been so many places around the country, I have a hard time tracking you, because you have, when I say literally been everywhere, from like Tucker to Rogan to Poole to the West Coast, I don't even know where you are, but you're everywhere. You're like God a little bit.
Well, I'm made in his image, and my name means God's decision, the full version of my name, so I wouldn't step into the line of comparing myself to that, but I work goddamn hard.
Yeah, we love that. And of course, we are always joined by the lovely producer, reporter, and host of her own podcast, Rapid Fire, Savannah Hernandez.
What's up, guys? What's up? What a fun, diverse panel we have today. I absolutely love it. We've got a black man, a Latinx man, an Asian woman. Zuby also said
was
that
my
you
gender just
identify as transgender. I was getting there. Calm down. I would never misgender somebody on this show ever. Okay. We don't do that here.
Yeah, everybody knows that the biggest, one of the things that I like to promote the most on the show is diversity. I think that skin color is the number one deciding factor of making anybody valuable. Everyone knows that that's the memorable message I preach. As long as there's the right color mix, then the ideas don't matter. We could throw truth out the window. As long as it's a trans black person saying it, we're all good. Anyway, before we jump into that today, guys, I gotta let you know something amazing. Obviously, everybody's got to wear underwear, or hopefully you do, but not everybody wears good ones. And you don't have to settle for that. I'm telling you the truth. A lot of people you're wearing right now, your boxers are bunched up, they get wet, they peel, they're just gross. Why are you settling for something other than Undertak boxers? Because I'm going to tell you this. Not only is it a company that loves America, that supports our values, supports this show's values and ideas, which is great. So you get to support a company that actually is not going to enforce terrible things and suppress your free speech, but they're also going to liberate what's underneath. I'm telling you, these things are so comfortable. They do not ride up. You can wear them pretty much in any situation. They're not going to show through your slacks. They're not going to show through your pants. As Sav pointed out, I'm apparently dressed very white today, but I have a pair of these on and I have some thin slacks and you can't see them through them, which is amazing. They also have a little pouch that you can open up for quick access. Believe me, Kez loves that as well. Sometimes a little too quick of access. I'm not always ready for it. Trying to start a family there. Thank you, Undertak, for helping me go. Go where other things wouldn't. But anyways, again, they stay dry all the time. They don't peel. Go to getundertak.com. That's getundertak.com. That's getundertak.com right now. And as a special introductory offer, you can buy three, get one free with the offer code OFFENSIVE. That's four pairs for the same price as two from the competition. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Go to getundertak.com. That's getundertak.com. Offer code OFFENSIVE. Do not wait. Get some pairs for yourself, for your friends, for your family, for your husband, while supplies last, because they're lasting actually forever and they're amazing and you got to get a pair. Anyway, so last time we were here, guys, we were here together last night. We were here a month or two ago. Things have not gotten much better for the world in terms of freedom, in terms of liberty, in terms of fighting back. It looks like totalitarianism, tyranny, all of this stuff is pretty much here to stay. And to show you kind of how effective this is, and really how effective the tyranny has been at stopping COVID, has been at really helping the world move forward. I just wanted to remind you guys a video of reminding you how much masks really help you in real world scenarios. If we can go ahead and play that video, Savannah. Oh. Okay. That was stupid. But I just like the fact that he was like, all right, I'm ready for this. I got a mask. And then it was like COVID came over the wall and was just like, sorry, brother, you're done.
Yeah, his head hit the back of the thing, didn't it? That looks pretty painful.
His mask actually flies off of his face.
Watch. Oh! Ooh,
that's why I should have worn two.
That's true. Now we know why.
More retention. No, but I mean, like, Zuby, I mean, when you look at this, it's like, it was such an encompassing picture of me, besides just being funny, that there was a guy. I mean, he's Asian, by the way, so we don't even know if this took place during COVID, because y'all Asian staff, speaking of diversity, y'all were doing this before it was cool.
That is so true. We've been wearing face masks, okay? Y'all are barely catching up to the latest fashion now.
Yep. I know, that's true. And unfortunately, in some areas, you guys will never be able to catch up because it's genetics. But I will say, on the other end, I love how she's there. Says my 4'2", yeah, my 4'2" producer. No, but I mean, you look at this, and this is a good picture of what's going on in the world. It's like they're telling you, hey, you know, just stand there, just obey, put on your mask, and then here's the problems of the world, and it slaps you right. I had to put it in because it's always funny. Yeah. I don't know, because I, you know it hurts, Zuby. You know
it
hurts.
Was he okay?
We don't know.
Has there been a follow?
We cannot confirm.
Each time I watch it, like, firstly I laugh, and then I'm like, he could be hurt there.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm not sure if at the end does he get back up, or is he could be knocked out by that. I don't know. Like, that looks like his head hits the thing.
He probably had a concussion.
Yeah. He looks at the end. I'm like, boom. Is he knocked out? I can't tell.
But is there, maybe there's a little bit of like padding on the walls there. Oh, that's nope. That's
no,
just,
it's just wood.
Just wood.
Yeah, just wood.
Yeah, it's just wood, like hitting your.
Did the back of his head hit the other side of the wall?
I'm still laughing.
You got to do it in slow motion, Sav.
I'm still laughing.
Possible?
For wearing a mask outdoors, maybe you deserve it. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. But this is where we're at in the world, right? I mean, this is basically an encompassing picture of like, just do this, wear a mask, you'll be safe. Mm. And it's like, when the world is going, the world is a scary and a dangerous place. And if you don't allow it to destroy you, it will. But if you walk around thinking that you can just put a mask on, everything's going to be okay, a giant wave of bullshit's going to come hit you and you're going to get knocked out. And that's what I feel like is happening to people. They're shocked. They're scared. They don't know what's going on. They complied, but we're all that Asian man. Mm. Savannah, we're all your people.
You guys finally understand the plight.
I think the situation is getting better. I think it's getting better. And I think people are getting exhausted, man. I've noticed, I've been in the U.S. now for coming up to 3 months. And I've even noticed in my time here from when I first arrived, early August, up, you know, all through August up until early September. And then now, even in that relatively short time frame, I do see a difference in people's attitudes and behavior. And I'm finding that a lot of people who even previously were very concerned about the virus itself or obsessive over the masks and stuff, you've still got that, but it's dwindling. There's a lot of people who are pretending, and if you actually observe people and pay attention to what they're doing and what they're saying, I'm seeing a lot of exhaustion. This is also from staff in airports, on airlines, all these places I've been traveling to. It's like they can't really be bothered anymore. They can't really be bothered to enforce it like they were enforcing it before. They can't be bothered to wear their own masks as diligently as they were before. I've been in so many airports, so many states, so many cities, airlines, whatever. And when I first came here, I was like, whoa, it's much more militant than it is in the UK. But at this point, I'm like, y'all don't really care. I was in New York. I was in LA. I went out Hawaii. They care. But in Los Angeles, I was like, yeah, you're pretending to care, but you don't really. I felt the same in Las Vegas. So it's changing, and more people are waking up for sure. And I also think the powers that be are playing their hand way too hard now. I think they've been able to take things this far by very gradually turning up the temperature and instilling that fear and unleashing the new variants and doing this and that. But they're playing their hands so hard now, you know, with the threatening of millions of people's jobs, the firing of healthcare workers, while out the other side of your mouth, you're saying that hospitals are overwhelmed by the pushing of the third shots and fourth shots in some cases. There are a lot of people who actually followed all the rules and complied all the way through this. And they're like, I'm done. I did what I was supposed to do. I wore my mask. I socially distanced. I stayed at home. We did this. We did that. We got our shots now. Oh, what? Now you want me to take a third? You want me to take a fourth? You even see this in Israel. I don't know if you guys are seeing in Israel now. You're not fully vaxxed unless you've had three shots. And I believe over 1 million Israelis now have said no to the third shot. So what's going to happen over time is that more and more people are going to become unvaxxed again. And there's going to be that what's happened in Israel is going to happen in all these other countries. And I think it's eventually going to collapse on itself. You're seeing more and more studies coming out saying, hey, why aren't, you know, even articles saying, hey, why aren't we talking about natural immunity? What's going on here? You're seeing the narrative is breaking down. The lie is breaking down. So while I think it's a concerning situation, particularly in certain countries, if you see Australia, Canada, Lithuania, Slovenia, Italy, there's certain places where it's still ramping up. But in a lot of places, they've already decided, look, we're done. We're over. We're finished with this. And then in even the places which are more into the restrictions, I myself am also observing that there's this fatigue, this exhaustion of
just. Is it like an angst? Like it's just like you're not. They're not comfortable because it's not natural. Like that's what I'm trying to understand. Is because they were all for the mandates and you know originally, but is it kind of like they know something's wrong? Like when you're in a toxic relationship and you're going, okay, this is I'm not glad I'm not single, but this is not how it should be. Kind of way.
Well, the thing is, each day the narrative that they were pushing breaks down further and further. If you just go back to the beginning of this year, what was the line around the shots, around the vax, right? It was Joe Biden himself said it. The director of the CDC, is it Rachel Walensky? They literally said, if you take the shot, you will not get COVID. It stops the infection. It stops transmission. That was the line. That's been the whole narrative around why other people are pushy about other people getting it, right? Because with most vaccines, it kind of stops a virus dead in its tracks and prevents transmission. We know in this case, really what it is a symptom mitigator. So, and they've moved the goalposts. So initially they were saying, stops you getting it, stops you spreading it. Then all these breakthrough cases started happening. In fact, they started happening so frequently that they no longer call them breakthrough cases anymore because it's just a given now. You've even seen very many high profile, fully vaxxed people who've gotten COVID. And this is happening by the millions. Everything in Israel, it spiked up. Singapore, very highly vaxxed country, started spiking up again in the summer. And so they moved the goalposts to say, okay, well, you know, it reduces the chance of serious disease and hospitalization. And now they're even moving it again to saying, you know, it decreases the chance of death, which is a very, very different narrative. And if that's the notion, then it only protects the individual. It's not protecting anybody else. So the basis scientifically and logically, let alone ethically, of any type of mandate or forced vaccination or anything like that, it's blown up completely. Over hundreds of millions of people have had COVID and recovered from it. At this point, where it's October 2021 now, right? This disease has blown through hundreds.
You mean
of
in America alone?
I'm saying
theoretically, if they say like a 1/3 to 1/2 have been exposed or contracted it in this country, if you did amplify that to the world,
could be then billions. Then
it potentially is billions.
Yeah, at this stage, the situation in October 2021 is very different to March 2020 or April 2020 in every single country. So there's no logical basis where any country or any city or any place should have more restrictions now than there were a year ago or 18 months ago, but that is somehow the case. And anyone who's not fully indoctrinated into this cult can see that something is up. This isn't making sense. How is it that this is all going on? You know, the narrative day by day is breaking down.
To your point though, like if you could play video 8 in the background here for a second, okay. Savannah, I mean like, yeah, this is where we started. So I want people to remember this.
Oh boy.
I just want people to remember this. This is where we started. And that's what you were saying. Like, none of this has made sense. Like, first, look at the guy behind him, like, touching him and then, like, moving him around. I mean, if those that are blind viewers, Savannah, can you give a little descriptor of what we're watching here?
Yeah, so basically, I'm guessing that's the grandfather of this baby and the mom is picking up the child to give the grandfather a hug through a shower curtain, but the shower curtain's also open on the backside and there's open air. I have no idea what's going on here.
No.
It's heartbreaking. I mean, with all of this, Drew, I mean, you see this. I mean, how could anybody think, and at this point of what we're watching going on, that acting and behaving like this is still acceptable response to COVID?
Well, I think Zuby's 100% correct. This is what I was talking about on the show last night on You Are Here, is at some point the truth is going to breach. It's going to come forward. People are going to see it. They're going to hear it. And people that are paying attention, like you're saying, they're asking themselves these questions, like, why was Fauci saying this and now he's saying that? Why was the CDC saying this and now they're saying that? Here we are a year later, where last year medical healthcare professionals and RNs and doctors were praised as heroes. Mm-hmm. And here we are in 2021, they're villains and they're being put out on the street because they don't want to get the jab. So people that are paying attention, which I think are a lot, I think you're right. There are people that are, they're seeing this, they're hearing it, they're saying to themselves that, you know, they're trying to tell me that 2 + 2 = 465, mm-hmm. right? And
so it's not even 2 + 2 = 5 anymore. It's just 465.
And unfortunately, some people believe that. But there are, I think there is a majority of people that are starting to watch this, like Zuby is saying, and they're saying, you know what, like, it's either these people expect me to be very low IQ, stupid, and not have the ability to actually see this stuff, or they're just lying to my face.
Yes.
And I think that's what people are asking themselves. And the most offensive thing you could do is be on slightly offensive or lie to somebody's face. But the point I'm trying to make, to go to Zuby's point, is I think that's happening a lot more often now. And it's kind of like they shot themselves in the foot because they put this out so forward. And the big thing that, especially on my reporting, when I'm talking to like healthcare professionals and doctors, and I talk to people on the street and I ask them, I'm like, well, don't you think it's odd? Like, in 2020, the radical left comes out and says anyone that's questioning the vax or questioning what's going on with COVID is just a QAnon, 4chan crazy person, right winger. And I'm like, well, so all of these healthcare professionals and doctors, like, are they just stupid now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking about people that actually, like, you would trust to save your life in a health in a life or death situation,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, so they're just stupid now.
Mm-hmm.
They're stupid. And people say, scratching their head, like, no. There's, okay, so what's really going on here? And I think what he's saying is absolutely true, because you either have to literally deny that or start to, like, really dig into it and say why and find the answer to that question.
Look at this. If you can go, I don't know, Savannah, are you able to go to my screen? Like, you know, you see this, that the CDC releases COVID travel guidance for the holiday season, not clicking the link. So I'm sorry, I'm not clicking the link. I look at this picture and I go, these people are mentally ill, because I responded to this picture specifically with a very simple point. I wonder if they ever read the box those masks came in. Like, you know, this is, everyone wear those masks. I know that YouTube says that masks are the most safe and effective thing. And I got strikes for saying that, for pointing out what it says in the box, that these masks say on the box that they're not helpful for mitigating COVID-19. That's what it says in the box. Apparently YouTube says that they know more. But I will just say this. Let me go full screen. You look at this. We're the conspiracy theorists, Zuby. We're the conspiracy theorists. White people have done some interesting things for the holidays that are mostly, you know, they're epic, and a lot of people question them, maybe, in this diverse coalition. This is some ratchet shit.
Yeah, and the thing is, I can guarantee that over 80, I'd estimate over 90% of people walking around with masks on outside are fully vaxxed, right? We're at the stage where everyone who is still afraid of COVID is fully vaxxed, and the narrative, not even joking, right? It sounds like a joke when I say it. The narrative right now that they're running with is the unvaccinated need to get vaccinated to protect the vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
literally, literally the narrative, right?
And you saw that on the Rogan interview with the CNN guy. That's because Rogan really pushed them, mm-hmm. and that's what it came down to. Yeah. It was like, it's just, you don't want us to be spreaders to protect the vaccinated.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense on any level, right? And the people who have really undermined the vaccine effort, in my opinion, it's not the people who they want to call label anti-vax or vaccine hesitant. It's the people who are fully vaxxed and still living in complete fear and psychosis. Because look, if you believe it works, you should just get your shots and say you were previously concerned about COVID and you were waiting for the vaccine. Cool, you get your shots and then go back out and live normally, right? Shunning people who are unvaccinated or being afraid of this or being afraid of that and still going around doing all these bizarre behaviors, that is telling me implicitly that you don't think it works, right? So, that's not going to convince anybody, because they're like, well, what are you still scared of, right? That's the thing. And so they're undermining their own message. What's that?
Do you see this? Exactly what you're talking about right here.
Is that real? That can't be real. Come on.
No, that is fully real. I'm not joking. It is fully real. That is a real post.
And for podcast listeners, it's a picture that says fully vaccinated, but the mask will stay on during sex.
He's got to be joking. He's got to be trolling.
Dude, I wonder who's having sex with that guy.
he has to be trolling.
Yikes. It's always the people, though. I will say the physiognomy check. While it's not important to always talk about people's appearances, there is a common correlation with men who look like this and men who have weird opinions about COVID.
Look at the comment. This is true. Look at the comment on the bottom right.
I see a dude jerking himself to sleep every night. No, but I mean, like, it's what you're saying. Like, even if he is trolling, he's still wearing a mask and he's got his vax card. I mean, that's what you're saying. Like, even if he's saying he's still going to put it on during sex. No, I know. I've read articles about encouraging people to still have your mask on during sex. It's like, you know, STD rates have remained stable. They've been the same.
Elijah, did you see that New York Post article that came out a couple months ago? And it was like, look, orgies in New York are back, but remember to be fully vaccinated before you attend them.
That was my point. Yeah. STD levels, it came out from the CDC, have remained constant in New York. So people have been they've been diddling with each other's, little, whatever you want to call them. They've been touching each other, but at least they're masked.
Yeah, man. I mean, priorities, right?
No, I know. And like, and this is what I want to show you this is that, it's very interesting because, like you said, where it's so backwards, obviously, I'm sure you're familiar with anyone living in 2020 should be very familiar with Antifa, anti-fascist. I know you have good, strong opinions about them, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
They've been nice to you. They've been kind to you.
They've been nice to us. Absolutely. A lot of them are pedophiles.
Drew, I was thinking the other day about how we need to make a compilation of all of the times that everyone in the riot squad just got beat the hell up by Antifa and just do like a compilation of it and be like, yeah, throwback to riot season last year.
I mean, I never got beat up.
Okay, Drew, we get it. You're better than all of us. Only everyone else in the riot squad got beat up by BLM or Antifa.
That was
you never
the plan
did. You
to,
never did.
Avoid getting beat up by homosexuals, but you know, that was always in the back of my mind.
Thanks, but, Drew. Welcome to the show. My name's Elijah Schaefer. How are you doing? Good to meet you.
Yeah, but I mean, I think I still want to
beat up by homosexuals. Dude, that should be a shirt. Don't get beat
I
by
got,
homos.
I got beat up by homosexuals, but in my defense, there was like 12 of them.
And
so.
All I got was this dumb shirt.
Is that still considered gay bashing?
No.
Yeah, actually, yes.
Being gay, wanting to avoid being bashed by gays, does that make me homophobic?
I felt the pride. I felt
bashing?
The pride. I felt it. That was a rainbow. That was a rainbow flag.
Oh, no.
I tasted the rainbow.
No, I mean, here's one of the big, I think, red pill moments happening right now with this whole vax COVID thing. I think because I've been to like Brooklyn and, you know, I've covered some of the movements in like the black community out there and they're just like, they're not having it. No. Some of them straight up tell me, they're like, this is like reminiscent. This reminds us of like Jim Crow laws, like of segregation, not being able to go into a business. But the point I wanted to make was when you talk to them and you hear them say things like, why is it you want our communities to be informed, right? You'll hear Joe Biden or you'll hear the governor of New York say, oh, you know, you want to please God. It's the people that are educated that are vaccinated. But those that aren't, they're not pleasing God because they're obviously not educated. Mm. So like when these communities hear that, it's like, okay, you're insulting my intelligence. You're saying that I'm stupid, okay? But at the same time, what's your education for me then, all right? You've already insulted me, fine, educate me. But their education is this, it's whatever we want you to believe about the vaccine. It's whatever we want you to believe that's positive. But if I start speaking right now, literally, on YouTube, anything negative, we get a strike, we get censored, we get taken down, you get smeared in the mainstream media. So what people, I think the red pill for people is, why is it that you're telling me you want me to be educated about this medical subject, but you only want me to have a single narrative about the positives, but anytime even a doctor or a medical healthcare professional comes out and wants me to be medically informed about the negative aspect, you silence it.
Yep.
And I think people are waking up to that big time.
I mean, one of the biggest casualties of the past 20 months is science, right?
I know, rest in peace.
RIP science, I mean— this new secular religion of the science trademark has really been crazy because it's blown my mind how aggressive and opposed people are to simply asking questions and challenging things, right? Instead of trust the experts and follow the science, it should have been challenge the experts and question the science. The whole notion of science is based off questions and challenging and trying to falsify information. And as and this whole censorship and shutting down and even deplatforming of even of medical experts and virologists and scientists who have questions or concerns, whether it's about masks or lockdowns or vaccines, whatever it is, it's like people are now starting all throughout this. People have been starting at the conclusion, and the conclusion is masks, lockdowns, and vaccine good. opposing any of the others, opposing any of them bad. And no matter what data, statistic, facts, arguments presented, if it doesn't result in the affirmation of those foregone conclusions, then it's just outright rejected. And that's really, really bizarre. And I don't know how the whole world of science and medicine is really going to recover from this.
Yeah.
Because the communication has been awful. If throughout this whole thing there had been some degree of humility mm-hmm. and a willingness to say, we got something wrong, or we don't know, right? We just don't know yet, right? Then it would be a lot easier to trust the establishment, right?
Right.
To trust what's going on. Throughout this entire situation,
yeah.
Maybe it's different here in the USA, but I haven't heard a single public health official, expert, anyone of these prominent people, I haven't heard a single one say, we were wrong. And I haven't heard a single and I've barely heard anyone say, I don't know, or we're not sure, right? Instead, they say the science changed.
Yeah, look at this.
Yeah.
Go to my screen here. I don't have the video because it's kind of boring and long, but the Seattle Fire Chief, I believe this is, was asked about why people and personnel were able to work for 20 months without a vaccine, but are now a danger to the public. And the answer from the chief, Harold Scogins, was almost too honest. The rules changed.
Oh.
So it wasn't even like the science has changed. It was just the rules have changed. And that makes people doubt science, because now you're going, well, what even this makes someone question what even science is. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, obviously when you get to school, they teach you like science is, you know, it's technically a method of testing things, right? You get like when you're younger, they give you like basics about it, or, you know, it's a process. And, you know, here's the three tenets of science or whatever, with, you know, you ask a question, then you create a hypothesis, you know, put it into a working hypothesis, then you test that, then as you test it, if you get concurrent results, then you can create a theory. That theory can still be challenged by people who may then, you know, because it's not, that's why it's always called a theory, because we never fully know. It can be changed. And once it's changed, then we accept that it's changed and we say that the other theory was wrong.
Yes.
Or just say maybe it should have remained a hypothesis. We jump to conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
The only time that science has ever said that things are fact and don't change and can't be challenged is when they were either run by the government or corrupted or run by the church, or something was influencing them to make it a faith-based commitment, not a science, not a physical science. And it's so sad to me, because I used to really respect scientists. I used to respect science. I used to really think it was a noble thing in the world that was out there. But when I realize how politicized it's been, if you can go to video 7 and just put it in the background here for a second, this is an Antifa group, as we were mentioning, with the Antifa protests in Brisbane, Australia, over the weekend, calling for stricter government action. They say that they are
stricter government action.
They were pro-vaccine, pro-health, anti-fascist, and are protesting in favor of mandates. Now, some of these people I might even recognize. I've covered a couple protests there, specifically in Brisbane before, but... Where do we start? Somebody help me here, because I don't know where to begin here. There's a lot to unravel.
Yeah, I think at this stage, I'm confident that testosterone booster mandates would do more than anything else, because look, I don't even want to be mean to people, but there is a strong correlation throughout this whole thing between health. Like people, I'm not seeing anyone who's like super pushing all this stuff and these mandates and the coercion enforced. I can't help but notice that they don't look healthy. These are not people who are in shape. These are not healthy looking people mentally, physically. You can go on their Twitter feed. I'm like, this person is not okay.
You don't see anybody jacked.
Dude, nobody jacked is afraid of COVID or ever has been. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it's immunity.
Right? No,
they're healthy. They're not afraid of common respiratory viruses.
Yeah.
I just think it's the mental illness, man. I've been talking about this a lot, and it sounds funny, but it's true. We have a lot of mentally ill people, okay, that are running around this country thinking that reality is actually what they want it to be. And to the point where you have people that claim to be anti-fascist that are pro-government mandates. Okay.
And I'm watching the world burn and I'm like, let's let it go.
If that's not mental illness, I don't know what is, because I think the biggest identifier of someone being mentally ill is completely overtly denying reality and what it really is. Right. And you see this everywhere. You're seeing it with science. You're seeing it in the medical healthcare industry. You're seeing it with gender studies on college universities. It goes across the entire spectrum. Mm. And I think that's where the society is right now. And I do have a concern for the future because it's gone through this process, right? With the cultural Marxism and the indoctrination where we've seen it through the universities. Now they're coming out of universities. They're getting hired by Disney. They're getting into politics. They're getting into mainstream media, CNN. This whole generation is now making a transfer into all of these channels. Where does that go next? Because right now, I personally believe we're barely seeing the beginning of this.
Right.
And where this goes in the next 50 years, when the Glenn Becks are gone, when the Alex Joneses are gone, when the Tucker Carlsons are gone, when this whole generation fully installs, like, are actually the ones at the top with the money, mm-hmm. you know, and controlling corporations, where are we really going to go at that point? Because right now we have mentally ill people that when you have someone so mentally ill where they actually believe that reality could be whatever they want it to be, mm-hmm. what happens when these people are in full authority, full power with multi-billion, trillion-dollar budgets that could literally make whatever they want to happen at the drop of a dime? Mm. That's right. What is concerning me right now. And I think that's what we're facing in the next 50 to maybe 70 years if people don't start fighting back seriously.
Yeah, and obviously, I want to talk more about this discussion. I honestly can't help you to not be mentally ill, but I can tell you if you're feeling ill and you're feeling nauseous on your commute right now and wherever you are in bumper-to-bumper traffic, I know the way I drive and the way Savannah drives, a lot of people feel nauseous. We've all experienced that horrible feeling, whether it's in the backseat of a car, staring at your phone, maybe after one too many on a night out with friends, or even just the anxiety from life and the workday. Nausea honestly can ruin your day. Physically, it can take you out. It can force you to change your plans, and in most severe cases, it can make you unable to function. For those of you who can relate, I've got some very good news for you. You've got to check out Relief Band. Now, Relief Band is the number one FDA-cleared anti-nausea wristband that has been clinically proven. This is not a pill. You're not taking something that's, you know, you're not forcibly injecting something in you. This is very simple. It quickly relieves and effectively prevents nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more. And a lot of you guys have been buying this and saying it really definitely like has worked for you too. And this is kind of crazy. The product's 100% drug-free, which I like. I'm not into promoting drugs on the show, so we're 100% drug-free. It's also non-drowsy and provides all natural relief with zero side effects for as long as needed. And how it works is Relief Band stimulates a nerve in the wrist that actually travels to the part of the brain that controls nausea. Kind of a similar way that like pills might block pain receptors. This can actually disrupt the motion. It's kind of cool. It's a really cool technology. Then it blocks a signal your brain is sending to your stomach telling you that you're sick. And it was invented 20 years ago in hospitals to relieve nausea for patients. But now through Relief Band, it's available to the masses. And I'm telling you that that's amazing. You don't want to miss this offer as well. So I got to tell you right now, if you go to reliefband.com and you use promo code offensive, you'll receive 20% off plus free shipping and a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So that's the important part is if you don't know if this would work and you're kind of skeptical, you get a money back guarantee. And I always say I like products that people might be skeptical of, that there's a money back guarantee. So it's free shipping and you get your money back if you don't like it. Go to reliefband.com. That's reliefband.com. That's reliefband.com. Promo code offensive to get 20% off free shipping and a 30-day money back guarantee. Again, that's reliefband.com. Promo code offensive, 20% off free shipping and 30-day money back guarantee. And speaking of that, Relief Band, like you were saying with mental illness though, right? I mean, nausea is one thing. And that's actually quickly fixable. Headaches, you can fix headaches. There's a lot of natural remedies. There's pills for that. That can go away. Nausea, well, you heard it here. There's actually quick ways to relieve nausea. There's also pills for nausea as well that you can take. I think it's called, that's not Dramamine. Is that what it is? No, I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. So there are options. I go on today to corroborate with what you're saying about they're all sick and everything. Mm. Nobody's talking about this. Right. Like with the advent of the feminist movement, I always talk to like feminists. They're always on antidepressants and anti-anxiety pills. I'm like, really? So you're happier in the workplace? Why are you on 12 pills? Okay. I mean, just really.
Yeah.
I'm not judging you. I'm not saying anything. Oh, you're sexist. No. They say, well, men are too. Sure. I don't think men are living the way they should either. I'm just saying, if this was the way forward, why is everyone sick and depressed? And this pops up on my Twitter. It was recommended to me today and it's from the Telegraph and it's like, a world without antidepressants, the new alternatives to prescription pills, could the future treating depression be ketamine infusions?
Whoa.
Damn.
Or even pacemaker for the brain? Like, nobody's questioning their lifestyle choices
and the society we're building is maybe a huge indicating factor, the food that they're eating. It's like the next step of antidepressants. I was hoping it was going to be like, maybe we should all eat healthy and exercise and build better relationships and mend our families and have a good society. It was like, maybe the answer is ketamine infusions. I'm like, oh shit, we're here.
Dude, do you know something amazing to me? And I say this as someone who's also from a Western country, but not from the US, being from the UK. And I've known this for a long time, but it really hit me over these past couple months I've spent here in the USA. And this is how influential and powerful the pharmaceutical companies are in this country. I'm watching, like, every time I see a screen on TV or I'm seeing this, even compared to the UK or compared to other countries in Europe, I've never seen any country besides the US that pushes pharmaceuticals so hard upon its population. It's not normal. I think it's important for Americans to know that the level of obsession with pharmaceuticals and the prevalence of them that is here in the USA is a global anomaly. It's not like that in most places. Like every second or third ad on TV, it's drugs. You're flipping through a magazine, drug ads, everything, drugs, drugs, big pharma. And then when you're looking at the influence they have with the lobbying groups and politics and all that, it's pretty mind-blowing. It's pretty mind-blowing, and it's so clear that so much of this is, look, there's nothing wrong with making profit. We all run businesses, right? But when you are trying to sell the cure rather than fix the actual problem, you're always going to have a perverse incentive. And I think that's one real issue in the medical world and in the pharmaceutical world. And I think that I've proposed this before, which is that people in the West especially need to change the notion of what we think of as healthcare, right? Because by the time you're going to a hospital or you're seeing a doctor, I mean, that's sick care, right? Healthcare is primarily up to you. That's your diet, your lifestyle, your sleep habits, how much water you're drinking, how much you're exercising, so on and so forth. That's the majority of healthcare. Yes, of course, there are conditions that people can have which you need treatment or medicine for. That's besides the point. But I think it's crazy that when people think of the term healthcare, their brain automatically jumps to doctors, drugs, pharmaceuticals, hospitals. It immediately jumps to emergency healthcare. Whereas I think if people thought of healthcare more holistically and thought about, okay, first thing, okay, what are we eating? What are we putting in our bodies? Are we exercising? What are we surrounded by? What does our diet consist of? Not just in food, but what we're watching, what we're listening to, who we're hanging out with. All of that stuff, I think a huge percentage of both, not I think, I know a huge percentage of physical and even mental ailments, because your body and mind are very strongly connected, could be healed naturally without massive pharmaceuticals. And it seems like someone here can just say, oh, you know, I'm feeling a little, you know, I'm feeling hyper, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling whatever. It's like, you know, here's a pill, here's another pill for that. Yep, like you've got people who are just, I don't know what percentage of the population is on some type of drug, but it's way
I got off. They had, when I was younger, they had me on drugs all the time. And I am telling you, those things screwed me up so badly. Mm. Like I even crashed a car on, I took Ambien one time and I crashed a car.
What Ambien is for sleeping?
Yeah.
Is that right?
But I slept, drove my car. I climbed out of my window. That's why I didn't have any like real legal problems. Mm. There's a class action lawsuit. And I like slept, walked, and I got in my car and crashed into a center divider. And they thought I was trying to commit suicide.
Wow.
But I wasn't. And I was like, I don't even know how I got here. And so that was literally, and that is how I stopped taking prescription pills, because I go, yo, this is not normal. And this is not worth getting sleep. I have insomnia still, but I don't. That's more related probably to taking a lot of Adderall when I was younger. So, I mean, like, it's just kind of just like fixing problems with more problems.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to be alive. I could have died. You know, I don't even know how fast I was going. I don't know the details. I wasn't awake for the entire thing, but apparently this is common, by the way. Yeah. This is a common thing that people take Ambien and do insane things. Luckily I didn't hurt anyone and I didn't have any lasting damage myself, just a concussion. Mm. But it's like, that woke me up when I was a lot younger, that I was taking Ambien, and I was like, that was a long time ago, like a decade ago. And I was like, all right, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not normal. Like, for to just everybody to be on a bunch of pills and medications. Like, it's been normalized over the past couple decades here, it seems, but on any global or historical level, I'm like, that's not normal. And I think it is I think it's quite deep. I think it's an indication of how the modern West tends to try to deal with most problems, which is rather than trying to look at the root cause and see, okay, what's actually going on here at a deeper level, it's trying to just address symptoms, right? Trying to nip that symptom in the bud, nip that one. You know, if you can profit off the cure as well, then even better. But I think that's, I mean, look, for the past 20 months, supposedly we've had a health crisis, right? Mm-hmm. How much talk has there been about health?
I haven't heard, I literally haven't heard anything. They closed the gyms down.
It's 20 months in. 20 months in, how much talk has there been around health in general? We know over 70% of the people hospitalized with COVID, overweight or obese. We know that vitamin D deficiency has been a big issue. We know that, you know, exercise, eating a nutritious diet, getting enough vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, all of that helps to increase your immunity, not just against COVID, but against a whole host of other diseases. Remember, heart disease, you know, cardiovascular disease and cancers are the biggest killers in the world. And it's been stunning to me how they don't even want to talk about that. They want to talk about masks all day long, talk about vaccines all day long, talk about lockdowns, restrictions, whatever. It's like, what about making people, what about encouraging people to be healthier? If you look at countries where people are generally healthier and there's lower obesity and all of that, then in general, they've fared much better throughout this whole situation. There are some elephants in the room that don't get talked about. I mean, if you were going to have a global pandemic and it was going to sweep through various continents and take out a lot of people, which would be the obvious continent that you think would be hit the hardest?
In terms of just unhealthy people?
Well, in terms of, okay, you know, we're worried about hospitals being overwhelmed.
Probably like Asia, Africa? Yeah. I mean, some places. Oh, you mean like hospitals? Yeah, they don't even have hospitals.
Right. You would think, okay, Africa is going to be the place that...
Like Ebola, how they're like, oh my gosh, everyone's dying because there's no access to healthcare.
54 countries, much, much poorer, much lower GDP, far worse healthcare facilities, much worse roads, power, electricity,
water,
all
everything.
Of that. Exactly, right? You'd think, okay, if this is going to be what they're saying it is, that's going to be the continent that's... 54 countries, like Africa's the whole country. They don't even talk about Africa in the media. Why? Because it doesn't fit the narrative, right? I believe according to official numbers, the entire continent has had about as many COVID deaths as the UK. The whole continent, all 54 countries combined is somewhere
Black
around
don't crack.
but it's like, can we, I'm just like, can we talk about that? Like, can we address that? That's a little strange. Where else don't we talk about?
Why are the Black people dying here, but not there? Like, that's the important question. Like, why are Black people dying in the US but not in Africa at the same rates? Like, I just saw today, it was like, I saw the first truthful COVID stats on the news today. I was just running and it was on the screen, by the way. And I've actually started really taking care of my health a lot better this year. I've been taking vitamin D and different things and actually trying to supplement even, I know there's debates on that, but trying to make sure I'm getting things in, eating healthier. I've been getting to the gym about 6 days a week. I feel so much better. And the reality is I'm looking at it and I'm going, and it was like, what we know, and it's acting like we just found this out, what we know, Black people are 2.4 times more likely to die than white people. And I was like, okay, here we go. But it was like, oh, but obese people are like, I think it was like 60 times more likely to die. And then if you're over 78, you're 220 times more likely to die than a healthy 24-year-old. And I was like, finally, they're telling the truth. It's largely related to old age, which at that case, like Colin Powell said, I had Parkinson's and cancer. He didn't die from COVID complications. He died from being sick. He's old and sick. Mm-hmm. And then people that are old and sick die. It's like when people have cancer, my mom, I think, died technically from probably an infection or something in her lungs, but she died from cancer. Okay. Mm-hmm. Her lungs were degenerated because she had cancer, a little infection. When you die from AIDS, you don't die from AIDS. You die from like a cold or something. Yes. And then, but you still die from AIDS. Cause it's like, the only reason that cold could kill you is because you had other problems, and those problems technically are what made you susceptible to the death. Mm-hmm. And nobody's talking about that. And the fact that it's like, these people are dying, like you said, because of something wrong. And the Black people in this country have a real problem with obesity, with the diets they eat, with the sugar, with the food. There's a huge problem with heart disease and other issues and high blood pressure and diabetes in the Black community that is disproportionate to how it should be. Mm-hmm. And also there's a huge problem with a lot of Black people not getting enough vitamin D in the United States. Like, I mean, you're living in Maine and you're Black. I'm sorry. Your skin was not made to live in that climate. Just like me living in Africa, I'm going to die.
Like, I mean, I'm going to get sunburned and die. I mean, our skins are just made to have different climate and different sunlight. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wanted to go back to his point because I've thought about that a lot. Is this, because like I see it, we see it, the pharmaceutical companies in this country, it is an anomaly. The way that human beings and Americans are so dependent on pharmaceuticals. And I often ask myself is like, how often are we asking ourselves, why am I the way that I really am? And I think a lot of our mental habits lead to a lot of behaviors that we don't even realize are being practiced in different avenues of our life. I mean, we live in the TikTok generation where a minute video is going super viral and people complain if there's a podcast that's over 25 minutes long right now. Where everything could be Ubered to me instantly with Uber Eats and stuff is expedited. Everything's been expedited. It's quick. And I think our culture and our society in America has been brought to this place mentally where that's how we view life. And if you're going to view that electronically, if you're going to view that with how your food's brought to you, if you're going to view that when you're watching a show and it irritates you that you just get to the point, I don't want to watch an hour show. I just show me a 30-second clip. Like people are literally like that. And it's like, if mentally you have to be practicing that somewhere else. So if that's how you think about things and then you bring that to your body, when it comes to, I could see how people are getting like this. I could see how people are just, where's the pill at? Book the doctor's appointment right now. Get me in there. Where's the pill?
Where
at?
The pill?
Yeah. Where the pill at? Like, yeah. I know where it's. Pill, bro? I don't think it's funny because I think millions of people in this country are falling into this mentally, and I think it's. I can't prove this. I'm sharing my opinion here. I would be willing to bet that there's probably millions of people in this country that think that way about their own bodies, and they probably just look to the pharmaceutical companies. Where's the next pill that could just instantly fix whatever I have going on? And then it leads into like what you were saying, is it really fixing you?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
And I think it's a vicious cycle as well.
Yeah.
It's a vicious cycle because once people get caught in that loop, what happens is they also lose. Here's another trend I've noticed is that people have, I'll bring up two actually. Number one, people have lost faith in the human body, right? The human body is a miracle. Right? Our immune systems, our ability, like if you really look into human biology and the way that we work and the way we can respond to pathogens and create antibodies and all this, of course, vaccines work based off of triggering our immune system, right? That's what they work based on. But people have totally forgotten that you even have an immune system. There's people that think like there's a COVID virus floating around in the air and you know, you walk past it and bam, like you're in the hospital. It's like, no, you have an immune system. We come across millions and millions of pathogens every single day. We don't get sick because we have various barriers and mechanisms that deal with it. If you get sick and you get infected with a disease such as COVID-19, then your body produces antibodies and then B cells and T cells, which help to, you know, protect you the next time around. And it's like all of this knowledge has been gone and it's all been outsourced to pharmaceutical companies and experts and scientists and whatever. And the second interesting point is there's been this inversion where people now think that their health is other people's responsibility, right? Since when do you take a drug or have a medical procedure to protect somebody else? Like that's new.
Yeah.
Right. And for there to be a demand, right. It doesn't.
That's weird.
That's weird. It's like, no, your health is your responsibility. If you are, look, there's people who can be killed by eating a peanut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. That doesn't mean we create a mandate where peanuts are banned.
Can't take my pad thai away from you.
Yeah. No one else is allowed to eat peanuts or whatever. It's like, no, if you have a peanut allergy, you take specific caution to manage that and deal with it. You have a particular issue that's on you. Yes. Other people, you know, we all have a responsibility and a duty towards each other to not actively try to harm or kill or infect each other. But that's, we also just live in the world and disease is not new. Viruses are not new. Coronaviruses are not new. Illness is not new. Death is not new. People talk as if prior to 2020, nobody died, right? People talk as if like all of anyone, you know, I'm sorry to anyone who has lost a loved one to COVID or to anything else. But number one, It's weird. Like so many, there's so many weird things going on where when people's behavior, I mean, to take another one, sorry, my brain's jumping around here because there's so much, but sometimes when I talk about this whole situation, people bring up a couple numbers and they try to sort of use this to emotionally blackmail me in some way, right? They'll say I'm speaking about COVID a little bit flippantly and they'll say, how can you, you know, over 4.5 million people worldwide have died of this. Okay. And firstly, in that same time frame, over 100 million people have died of other things. Over 100 million. No, people don't even know that. People don't even, about in an average year, about 60 million people worldwide die. That's just the global average. That's the norm. Okay. So 4.5 million out of 105, 110 million, let's say, is not a huge number. And also, the average age of death with COVID, as we know, is over 70. In the UK, it's 82, which is the same as the average life expectancy. In the US, I think the average age of death with COVID, don't quote me on this, I think it's high 70s, around 77.
77, yeah.
77, yeah. 78. That matters, right? Like not all of those, if COVID didn't even exist, not all of those 4.5 million people would have survived the past 20 months. We know an average of what, 3-4 comorbidities. So human beings are not eternal. We don't live forever. We never did before. And I'm not saying this to sort of sound callous or to downplay anything, but just to frame this in a sane way, 4.5 million people who are an average age of 75, let's say, dying with other comorbidities. We don't know whether it's from COVID or with COVID, whatever. That's not the same as, say, a theoretical virus where the average age of death is 30.
Right.
Right. No. And it's just anyone, it doesn't matter how healthy you are, right. Your age, whatever, it's just sweeping through and taking everybody out. And also not all death, like I said, not all death is preventable. That's just a sad reality.
If it wasn't COVID, it could have been something else. And I would have to say that a lot of those COVID deaths are counted incorrectly. I've spoken to a few people who showed that they were positive for COVID, then went and got a blood test and showed they were not. And this PCRs and what's going on with these tests is absolutely criminal. Mm. And of course, before we talk about that, I do have an amazing thing. The Aboriginals of all people are the ones fighting back against the mandates the most. It is the Aboriginals. I believe, is it a racist epithet to call them I've heard? Is that true?
Yeah, I don't think they like that.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know. I'm just wondering. I'm not from Australia. I've just heard you're not supposed to say that word. Mm. But I think we have to bleep that, actually, Savannah. Okay. Thank you. But before going further, I got to let you guys know something. Obviously, I am breaking my lease right now because my apartment building absolutely sucks. Not all of you guys can take control of your finances because you know you have that pesky thing called a credit score, which makes life very difficult. I don't like the system. I don't like the banking system. I know you don't either. Unfortunately, right now, we all do have a credit score. And it is crazy that if it's low, you really can't get good rates on anything from a car loan to like for me, like I don't want you to get in student loans, but I'm refinancing my student loans. I'm paying them down pretty well. If there's anything you're trying to invest in something, they're going to check your credit score. How do you actually get it up? Well, you can go to scoremaster.com/offense. That's not offensive. That's offense, O-F-F-E-N-S-E, where you can find out how to raise your score today. Basically, what happens is you can maintain and protect your credit score with 24/7 monitoring and $1 million fraud insurance. So you can already protect your credit score from randomly getting dinged because somebody screwed up and spent money on your credit card or anything like that. But honestly, if you just take a few minutes to enroll and you see your points, you can right now get more points. A lot of average users get anywhere from like 50, 60, 70 points increase on their score just using them for a short time. And I actually was able to, over the course of a year, really raise my credit score so I can refinance a lot of things and get my finances under control. No one wants to be in debt, but sometimes when we're young, we live in a world where we're stupid. And maybe you're old and you made bad choices and you want to get it in under control and you need that rate. Or you just want to grow up and you want to buy an investment property, a house, anything. I'm telling you right now, go to scoremaster.com/offense and find out how to get more points and qualify for the lowest loan rates. That's scoremaster.com/offense, scoremaster.com/offense right now to get started today in just a few minutes. Enroll and find out how many points you can add to your credit score today. Don't let bad credit scores keep you in the dirt, in the dust with your finances. Get a hold of your credit today at scoremaster.com/offense. So I don't know if we can play this. So I don't know if this is really what the video is. It was labeled so odd. It was saying that this was actually Aboriginals of, resisting the health inspectors coming in to try to issue mandates into their region. If you don't know about this, the government has kind of kept Aboriginals. They're actually a pretty wild people. They, to this day, And they're pretty interesting individuals. The government's obviously controlled a lot of them. You can get into this. I don't know if this is really what it says, that they're trying to prevent mandates. And I'm assuming this is real. But I couldn't verify this. Although I will say there's a little Aboriginal now, I think, sparking up in all of us. Like, I'm there, bow and arrows and all. Like, I'm just, get the fuck away from me.
It's like these people, like, I'm listening to Zuby talk and I love listening to you, man, because you got my brain going and I like it because I really believe this is leading to some kind of like new world religion. Everything you're hearing coming out. These people want to censor speech. They want to censor, they want to control science. They want to control the media. There's a certain way you can talk. There's a certain thing you can believe when it comes to science or when it comes to philosophy or when it comes to truth. But I think it's very cult-like behavior because you can't question it. You can't speak out against it. All that's missing right now is some kind of central figure or leader right now. But my main concern when you think about this is how these people— Right? Because when you're dealing with like a religion, right? Or like legalism, you're dealing with some kind of world religion, there's some system of doctrine which leads to lifestyle, right? And when I see this stuff, it's like, how did these people get to the point where we hate Christianity because it's so legalistic? And how dare you tell me live how I should live? But these are the same people that have like the climate change cultist doctrine where if you eat the wrong thing, your carbon footprint is too big. It's a lifestyle. But these are the same people that say hate speech. We believe in relativism. There is no singular truth. My truth could be whatever I want it to be, and your truth could be whatever you want it to be. But we're the same psychopaths on social media that care oh so much about fact-checking everybody on the internet because we want facts, which is what? Truth. It doesn't make sense to me other than this is like leading into some kind of world religion where there's a doctrine, it's controlled, it's a lifestyle, you can't speak out against it, and everything about it has some kind of morality to it. It's very strange, it's very weird, and especially when we're talking about science and how they want to literally dictate what science is now. I mean my own biblical opinions is we're being led into the new world order. All that's missing is the Antichrist, all that Advent. I think that's where we're going. But I think that's what you're starting to see really rise because it brings people together in a very strange way.
Yeah.
Even to the point, even your language, oh, like absolutely. You can't say the wrong things.
I mean, it's COVID has just taken it to a higher level. This has been going on for many years in the West. And I think there's a couple, I've thought about this a lot myself and I've, I had a tweet go viral beginning of this year and of last year saying that, you know, COVID-19 is the world's fastest growing religion, right? And I've compared vaccination to baptism, right? With the way some people are treating it. You even saw the new governor of New York explicitly using very religious terms when talking about it, calling people her apostles and saying that, you know, Jesus would want them to be vaccinated. The vaccine is a gift from God, et cetera. And I think I've thought about this a lot. Number one, one theory I have is that human beings are inherently religious, right? And some people don't like it when I say that, but human beings are inherently religious. We seek purpose, meaning, community, something higher than ourselves, a sense of morality, feeling of right and wrong, good and bad, original sin, so on and so forth. So that's why you've had these secular religions. Right now we've got the COVID cult, but it also links into SJWism and some of the authoritarian leftism and statism and communism and even some aspects of these feminist ideologies, so on and so forth. People can even get religious about diet, you know, use hardcore vegans and so on. And I also think that nature abhors a vacuum, right? So for many people, if you displace a traditional religion or you displace the notion of God, then something else can take its place. That can be statism. Right now we're seeing scientism. Scientism has very little to do with science itself, right? But scientism is this secular religious doctrine where, you know, Lord Fauci is the high priest or high Pharisee. He cannot be questioned. He's infallible. He can say one thing today, the next thing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. You're not even supposed to point that out. You do strange rituals, like, you know, before you enter the restaurant, you put on your mask, you sanitize your hands, you sit down, you take off your mask, da da da. That's a ritual. That has nothing to do with science. You can't even pretend that's scientific, right? But people are doing these behaviors. They're the way they're treating people and labeling people, anti-maskers, anti-vaxxers, yeah, so on.
That's the weird part.
Yeah, the demonization.
The weird part is the hive mind response to anyone that doesn't obey. Mm-hmm. Like when you go to California or you go to New York and you're walking around without a mask on, it's like you're in a movie. Everyone's like,
you must be excommunicated.
It's just weird.
Excommunication. Exactly. Right? They're doing that right now in the healthcare industry, in healthcare, the firefighters, police departments. What are they doing? Firing the unclean. Mm-hmm. The unclean. Have you noticed now that people use the term unvaccinated as a synonym for infectious? Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that? Mm. Right? It's assumed that if you are not vaccinated, you are diseased, you are infectious, which is a very dangerous rhetoric, by the way, historically. But also, again, it's completely bereft of science. We know for a fact most people who are not vaccinated are not carrying the virus. And also, if you are vaccinated, you can still be carrying the virus and spread it. In fact, studies, again, you want to talk science, studies are coming out showing has similar viral load even. So what is going on here? And I think it's totally accurate to compare it more to I'd say more cult, maybe because I have a positive view of religion in general, but it's this cultish thing. People are excommunicating their friends, their families, you know, uninvited my cousin from my wedding because they're not vaccinated. Logically and scientifically, it makes no sense. It comes from this new legalism, the scientism. I don't know the perfect words to use to describe it, but it's
Alex Brenza got banned on Twitter, I remember, a while ago, because he was posting a lot of things about the vaccine and people were there's activists trying to get him taken off. Mm-hmm. And I used to read a lot of his stories on the show. I think he's still a writer. He's still really good. I mean, he's probably on Substack now. Probably why I don't see his writings as often anymore in publications. But, you know, I really liked him. And I know when I was looking at the tweets after he got banned of people celebrating that he got banned, it wasn't a sense of like, oh, yeah, like this guy, here's where he said that was wrong. And I'm really glad that he can't say that wrong thing. It was like, yeah, another one of them is gone. Like basically like, the unclean, the people who doubt the vaccine's efficacy. It's like, he doesn't doubt it. That's not a faith process. The guy's one of the smartest guys I know in terms of like computing information, specifically on COVID. Mm. He's understanding the efficacy of the vaccine simply based on the studies and what he's looking at, the information, the science.
Yeah.
You're in the religion, bro. You're the one who's, this is a faith-based thing. I don't want to like, you know, really, my family's really divided over all this stuff. And I was really surprised because like my older sister was willing to get dinner with us. Cause originally I wasn't allowed over her house cause unvaccinated. But then I got dinner with her and I walk in and I'm like, this is a real thought. And a lot of people are going to think this, and I love my sister. I don't mean anything by this. I walk in and she's wearing like a gauze mask, you know, like those like real thin, actually extra thin gauze masks in the lobby. And I don't know if you know what the ranch is in Las Colinas. It's right here. We were there actually. That's nice where we grabbed appetizers, but there at the ranch, the halfway decent steakhouse, not the best. And go in there. It's definitely not a very progressive place. There's no signs asking you to wear a mask. There's nothing like that. This is Texas, by the way. Yeah, yeah. So it's not a big deal. She lives in Texas too. So it's not like this is somebody who's used to putting on a mask. And I walk in, she's got this gauze mask on, right? And I mean, like, I just want to bring some humanity into this. I look at it, and I'm like, okay, there's so many things going through my head. Like, first of all, you don't need to be wearing a mask in the lobby. Also, this is back to that question, which we all know. I don't understand why wearing a mask in a lobby and then not at the table makes any sense. Also, that's a gauze mask. Like, that literally, people buy those to wear on planes to breathe, to make it look like they're wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. Okay? Not a helpful mask. And the only conclusion I could think is that perhaps she's wearing it for the only reason. She's not dumb, by the way. My sister is not dumb. She's actually very smart. Mm-hmm. She's works in corporate, and she's an executive in corporate, very large company, very smart woman. I'm just thinking like, it's gotta be that she's thinking of what people will think about her. And it's either one of two things. And if she sees this or hears this, she could tell me which one it is or if I'm wrong. Either it's that she's afraid people are afraid of people who are unmasked, so wants to wear a mask out of genuine concern that people don't feel afraid to be around her, which I believe is playing into people's mental illness. Because again, yeah, just because you're unmasked means you're infectious, right? Mm. That's the other one, not just unvaccinated, but unmasked means infectious.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also, perhaps it's the same thing of just like wanting to be seen like she's doing something like, yeah, I care about COVID and I take it seriously. But I look at this and I go, there's no scientific basis. There's no understanding. And also you're in Texas. Like, I don't get why you're still doing this. And I'm being honest, cause I love her. It's like, why are you still doing this? Why are we back here? And what's weird is when the CDC said she didn't have to wear a mask, then she stopped wearing it. But then the CDC said that they recommend people still wearing masks indoors. So she does anyways. And I'm going, so you follow the CDC, but the CDC doesn't even follow science. Like, the information is there. You're smart. This is what I'm trying to say. Like, why are you still doing this? I'm really asking. It's like, mm-hmm. she's not dumb and she doesn't have not access to information. She's not poor. There's no issues. Why are you still doing this? Mm-hmm. What's the point?
One thing I've really noticed throughout this whole thing is that this is not about intelligence. It's more about personality types. I've really noticed that it's not about, you know, IQ or what we typically think of as intelligence. It's people I've noticed who tend to be very pro, you know, pro mask, pro vax to the point of mandate, pro lockdown, so on and so forth, tend to be people who are higher in neuroticism and higher in deference to authority, right? Those are the two traits I've noticed that are quite predictable. People who don't care about deference to authority or fitting in socially. I think that's why you see a lot of people who are like entrepreneurs who run their own businesses, guys who are into like weightlifting and going to the gym. They're very independent minded and they don't care to just fit in and go along to get along and not rock the boat at all, right? They're not as conflict averse because a lot of the masks, most people wear masks to avoid conflict. I truly believe that, right? It's conflict. Some people it's to virtue signal. Tiny minority genuinely think they're afraid of the virus. But for most people, it's simply to keep the Karens away, right? To avoid conflict. Most people are conflict averse. I totally understand that. And then also people who are just, you know, neurotic, people who are more easily scared, more anxious, and just more fearful personality types. And I think that's why you see it tends to be the same people who freaked out about Trump, who freaked out about Brexit, who freak out about climate change. They tend to be the same people freaking out over COVID, with some exceptions, but it tends to be there's a subset of the population, there's a percentage where they almost want, I don't know if they want to, but they always have some, there's this boogie, there has to be a boogeyman out there for them to be very fearful of, and it can change over, and the media can tell them what it is, right? The media can come out next year and just go back to, I don't know.
It changes. It's climate change. It's white supremacy. It's COVID. It changes.
Yeah. Nazis are hiding under your bed.
Yeah. And it's more effective if it's something that's sort of in the ether, mm-hmm. right? I think that's what's been so powerful about this is because it's not a visual threat. It's not like something you can see. Okay, watch out. We've got a lion on the loose.
Yeah.
Or we've got, you know, a madman with a gun. It's invisible. Mm-hmm. White supremacy. It's just in the air. It's systemic institutional racism. It's just in the air. It's floating around.
It's not a confrontation you're having.
No.
It's a confrontation you're not having. It's what they're not saying. It's a microaggression of what they meant the opposite of what they said.
Yes.
It's always implying on the absence rather than on the physical, on what's tangible.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It could be, right? What do people say? How do you know you're not sick? You could be sick. How do you know you don't have the virus? Prior to 2020, no one ever said this. Right. I've told people before, I'm like, all right, call into your workplace tomorrow. Tell your boss that you're sick. And you can't tell your boss you can't come in because you're sick. If he asks what's wrong, tell him where you're asymptomatic. See what he says. Mm. Right. Yeah. I can't go to work. I'm sick. What's wrong with you? What's up? What's wrong? I'm asymptomatic. You're like, shut up. Get your butt in the office.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But this is what people have been running with this whole time. Everyone could be sick. In the UK, they had billboards and signs and posters up advertising saying, act like you've got it. Act like you've got it. You know, anyone could have coronavirus, act like you've got it. So they've been training people to be hypochondriacs and to have Munchausen by proxy, this notion that every single human being is a potential threat to you. And I think actually that's been the most sinister and long-term dangerous part of this entire narrative, this programming and rewiring of people to simply see their friends, their family, their neighbors, everybody as a potential existential threat. You just walk past someone smiling with your naked face and there's people who are, they're nervous. The other day I was in Nashville. It was tragic, but also kind of funny. I was in a hotel, the elevator doors open. There was a woman in there wearing a mask. You know, she was the only person in there. I stepped in. She stood in the corner, faced the wall and was like, yeah. She was freaking out just by my mere presence in the elevator, right? That I'm coming in, and obviously I
is it because you're black or because you're black?
I don't know. I could have made her feel like really bad there if I wanted
to. Yeah, you should have said that. You should have said like, "Ma'am, do you know not all black people are gang members?"
Yeah.
And then she would have been like, "Oh shit."
Yeah.
Dude, I would honestly play with it more. Like I would do that. If someone acted afraid, I'd be like, "Hey, you know, black people are nice too." And be like, "Oh no."
Yeah, but I was just thinking, man, like what has the media over the past 500 plus days, look at what the media has done to people. Yeah. When you're seeing people driving around in their car, mask on totally by themselves. I'm like, the media.
Masks on the air conditioning vents. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Putting masks on the vents.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because it's like, it's either you see these personalities and there's really nothing in the middle. It's always like extreme. It's like this extreme fear and paranoia, or like this extreme like hero God complex, like mixed with like anger, like righteous or not righteous, but this anger, this indignation towards you because you're not wearing a mask. Last time I was in California, I was in some pizza place. I don't want to name drop them here on the show, but I was in a pizza place, and I'm there without my mask on, and there's this lady in front of me. And I'm just standing there. I walk right into the pizza place, and the worker that's making my pizza, she's not wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. She's making my pizza. I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the lady standing in line, wearing a mask, she like looks back at me like 10 times. I could just see her body start to shake with anger.
Yep.
She turns around, and she's like, "Oh, so you don't know how to read?" I was like, "Excuse me," like blowing up in the middle of the entire, like there's kids in there. There's all these people. She's like, "So you don't know how to read?" I was like, "Excuse me, ma'am." And she's like, "The sign says you need to wear a mask." I was like, "Well, I don't want to wear one." And she's like, "So you just don't know how to read, right?" She did this like 5 times, like turning back and forth, like just loot, like just this anger just building up. And I was like, "Well, ma'am, the woman making your pizza is not wearing a mask. And that doesn't bother you? I bother you?" And she's like, "Well, she's putting a mask on now because I asked her to." I was like, "Lady, okay, that's fine." Until finally she starts screaming at me, right? Turning around. "So I guess you're just not going to follow the rules and they're not going to enforce the rules and he's just not going to put a mask on." She's like pulling her mask down as she's yelling at me, right?
Of course.
and it ended here. And I was like, "Lady, just hurry up, order your damn pizza because you're wasting my time and everybody else behind me. Thank you." She explodes. Explodes. She's like, "Oh, you're not gonna tell me. You ain't gonna tell me to hurry up. You can get in front of me and order, and you can. I was like, "Thank you," because I want to get my pizza, and you're wasting my time and everybody's time. And there's like everyone's looking in the freaking restaurant. The workers are all staring at me. I was like, "They're not even wearing their masks. They're making the pizza. I'm fine with that. You're here mad at me because I'm not wearing a mask, but you're not mad at them." So I go. I pay for my pizza, and the workers are like, "Oh, we're sorry, bro.
Yeah.
You know, we don't really believe in this stuff, but we got to enforce it." And he's like, "Hey man, can you, this is how ridiculous it was. He's like, "Can you go outside, bro, and wait for us to bring you your pizza? Because some of the customers in here are kind of like, you know, skittish because you're not wearing a mask." I was like, "So you want me to go outside and wait for my pizza just so I can come back inside and take my mask off and eat my pizza?" And he's like, "I don't enforce the rules, man. I don't make the rules. I just got to enforce them."
I've had very similar
behavior. My point is, it's this extreme. It's either extreme paranoia or this extreme indignation.
Yeah.
Never in the middle.
Do you know what's interesting there is that tells you that to that person, it's about the control and the authoritarianism.
Yes.
It's not about a genuine fear of a virus. Because if you were afraid of the virus, that's not how you would behave, right? You would avoid the person, right? Okay, the woman who, in my elevator, that's someone who's afraid of the virus. Your situation, that's someone who wants to
control
and has that busybody personality type where they get off on telling other people what to do. And Lord knows, there has never been a better time period in the world for people who like to tell other people what to do. Low status people. I'll tell you who loves this stuff. It's low status men in particular, but low status people who suddenly have a reason and a way that they can pretend to be the good guy and the hero by telling other people what to do. Wear a mask, get vaccinated, do this, stand here, do this, do that. Doesn't matter if it's logical, if it's coherent, if it makes sense. I've had time in LA, I was the only person in the gym. Only person besides one other staff member. He wants me to wear a mask while I'm training. I'm the only other person in the gym. I ended up having a 10-15 minute conversation with him where he eventually conceded, mm-hmm. right? And I'm just there breaking it down because I just kept saying, why? You say, oh, you know, you have to wear a mask. Why? Well, you know, it's the rule, da-da-da. Why? What's the purpose of the rule? And I had to get, I got him to concede that this right. does not make sense. This yeah. is not, and I also said, I was like, look, I straight up, I was like, do you have COVID? He's like, no. I was like, neither do I. So can I give it to you? No. Can I give it to me? No. And I was like, also, if you were afraid of the virus, what you've now come into my vicinity and we've been talking here for 12 minutes. If there was a concern about a virus, this is where it would have potentially right. spread, right? If you were truly scared about a virus, you would have stayed on the other side of the gym, not walked all the way 30 yards over to me
yeah.
to come have this conversation. So this just belies the truth. And but as I was saying earlier, all of this stuff to me is this is how it all breaks down. Each time one of these like flagrant, ridiculous things happen on a high level, whether it's politicians going out and having maskless parties, or it's them putting the mask on for photo ops and then you see them 2 minutes later with it off, whether it's these studies coming out, whether it's the obsessive pushing of mandates, the firing of healthcare workers supposedly during the middle of a deadly pandemic, so on and so forth. All of this serves to wake people up. All the people who are still sitting on the fence like, I still truly believe this is about health and safety. More and more of them are getting knocked off this fence. Right. And a lot of, it's important to remember, most people are quiet. We're talkative guys. We voice our views, mm-hmm. right? For every one of us, there's a million people. There's a million people who think similarly, but are just quiet and or do not have the platform, right? They're working in a place where they're afraid, rightly or wrongly, to voice their views. Yep. They're concerned about repercussions. Or even if they're voicing the views, they've got 17 followers on social media. Yeah. So people aren't really seeing it. So there are way, way, way more people who are on the side of liberty and freedom. And it's also very important to remember, despite the attempted politicians and media's framing, most people who have taken the vaccine do not think it should be mandatory. They're trying to frame this as the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. Totally false framing. This is people who are in favor of liberty and opposed to the coercion and shaming and bullying versus people who are pro-mandate, who want to use the force of the state to force an injection upon other people or to force this or that upon other people. That's the split, right? And most people, regardless of their vaccination status, whatever, majority of people, I think it's really important to remember, are not in favor of forcing it. You can be very, very pro-vax. You can even be very, very pro-mask, but be very, very opposed to mandates and coercion and shaming and attacking and bullying. And that's a huge cohort of people. And I think when you spend a lot of time online, it can seem like, oh my gosh, like so many people are
right.
You know, hyper-authoritarian. Those are just the loud ones, but they're actually a minority.
It is, and it's true. And in that being said and done, you know, with all of you guys watching this, remember that the fight against all this stuff is tough. And like a young man and a lot of people who have reached out to me, you know, he said, you know, this is a really tough decision whether or not to get vaccinated or not. And I tell everyone the same thing. The way that we fight all of this is by resisting what they mandate us to do. And a lot of people say, well, I want to make the right choice, but they forget that the choice itself doesn't even need to be made. They've forced a choice upon you that you can reject. You can opt out of the system. And there are ways to do that. And people say, I might lose everything. And it's always going to remind you, you might lose everything that you don't even like that much. Most people don't like their lives that much and how it's turned out. You don't like your job that much. What you're afraid of is not being able to provide for yourself. But I promise you that life is better. Sometimes you're going to have to move. Sometimes you're going to have to try things out. That the only time that you really succeed and find things in life that matter are when you're willing to lose it all. Every single success story of faith, of business, of entrepreneurship, of liberty, of relationships took risk. And I just want to remind you that. It's like even I didn't even know my wife until I honestly just like left, bought tickets to Australia and met her for the first time. It couldn't have worked out. I could always walk around, but I'd rather risk it all to find something that's amazing that I love. And in that case, it worked out. And almost in every time that I've risked everything or done things that didn't make sense, it's what makes more sense than to reject a world that's confusing, that lies to you, and that they're making you afraid and making you think you're not going to make it. But I promise you, if you do what you know is right, you will make it. On that note, I want to thank my guests so much today.
Not really guests, more like a family here. Slightly offensive backers. We love you. We brought it in. I did want to say, if you could put on my screen up for a second, Savannah, this is the kind of men. I just thought of this joke right here. You can't really see. Actually, I can zoom out a little bit, but it says, once upon a time, men hunted woolly mammoths. Now shit stains like this can barely hunt for an avocado. I don't know. I just thought that was actually kind of funny. And if you want to know what the suggested picture is here, this is KFC posted a sketchy anime of Glenn Beck. So that's what that is. I don't know what the internet is. That's Twitter for you folks. Anyway, we have Drew Hernandez from Real America's Voice, commentator. Also, Drew, like I said, H Live on YouTube. Where else can they find you? Where else can they search you up?
Yeah, you guys can follow all my work on Twitter, Drew H Live, Getter, Drew H Live, and Gab as well. Instagram, Drew Hernandez Live. And like Elijah said, YouTube, Drew Hernandez.
Drew Hernandez. All right. And Zuby, obviously the voice of Zuby. Got that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, voice of Zuby, teamzuby.com. Where else? What's going on?
Word of Zuby.
Word of Zuby.
Word of Zuby, the album is out now.
The voice of God, and I called you God. The voice of Zuby is in my head. It's like, Elijah, take off that mask.
Well, yeah, Word of Zuby is out now on all platforms, and you can find me on all social media at Zuby Music. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, at Zuby Music, Zuby Music.
Awesome. Savannah, where can people follow you, lovely girl?
Aw, thanks. You guys can follow me on YouTube at Sav Says, or my podcast, Rapid Fire, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Podbean.
Yeah, and you can find me. I don't even know how my social medias grow. They're still growing, and they're fine. You guys still find me regardless. You can go everywhere. I don't know how long I'm going to keep them for. I don't even know how long they're going to last. But as long as they're there, you can find me everywhere as well. My link tree is in the description. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, and leave a 5-star review. If you make it this far in the podcast, like I always try to say to you guys, hopefully you really do like the show. Because, again, this is about an hour and 21 minutes into a show. And if you listened this far and you didn't like this, you have to figure your life out. But if you do like the show and you've been wanting a way to help out the show and support it, leave us a 5-star review because it's free. It doesn't cost you anything and you might get read on the show. We have two reviews here. One from the Shiznitz 69420, which says, Team SOB, the show has brought many lols to my life and is surprisingly tame, but people are so easily offended today that this is considered controversial. That's true. The show was not meant to be controversial. The show was literally meant to be non-controversial, and now it apparently is. Thanks for the clown-pilling a generation, or at least a chunk of one, who's open-minded enough to listen. Also, thanks for showing me John Doyle. That Zoomer has some legendary rants and is in great company with the great people of Slightly Offensive. Thank you so much to Shiznit 69420. Hopefully you have a good time having sex and smoking weed or whatever that means. I don't know. We have a bad review. Don't download. That's what this is by. Love the show. I'm a small business owner. I travel a lot. Your shows help me feel like I'm not alone. I'm so thankful there are still sane people in the world. I've been independently following Elijah since he was walking the streets in Cali, Sydney, since I found her based feminist videos. Also, Kez and Fleckus talks about the same time. Finding out all y'all are friends, married, and collaborating together is awesome. I also love and follow the smoking hot Sav Says. Hey. You don't even put yourself on screen.
I never do. Also, I just want to say, Lige, that I don't try to pick the reviews with me and them. I'm just in a lot
she
of
does.
Them, okay?
She
it's
does.
Not my fault. I don't. I she swear does. I don't.
Someone had like, to pick them.
Yeah, we always read it. It's like I want to start this review out by saying Savannah's the most lovely woman in the world. I'm always like, oh, I wonder why this one got in here. I also love and follow the Smoking Hot Sav Says and look forward to your shows every week. Keep up the good work and being a strong voice for freedoms. Let's go, Brandon. Also, Joe Biden. That was a psyop. It's just, seriously. Him. Anyway, make sure you sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah to become an official SOB. And you also can get access to the new show, You Are Here, and a lot of other content as well. When you sign up, it directly supports these shows, in case you were wondering. But you get access to everybody else, including Crowder, Beck, Levin, and a lot more. Thank you so much again, everyone, for coming. And to my lovely guests, please stay strong. And to the audience and to the listeners, may you even have greater strength in these trying times. May God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.